Turn with me in the book of Genesis tonight. Chapter 32. You know, the Old Testament scriptures that we find in the Old Testament, they're said in the New Testament to be written for our admonition, our instruction, our encouragement. It says, those of us upon whom the end of the age will come. There is something profitable for us in every page of this book, if the Spirit of God is pleased to teach us. It's written for our instruction. It's written for our rebukes. And it's written for our comfort. And these verses that I'll read tonight, just two verses, but these verses are about a man who is a real type of every one of God's elect. His name is Jacob. He actually had two names. God gave him another name, Jacob and Israel. The one describes him as he is by nature, conniver, supplanter. The other describes him as he is by God's grace in Christ, Prince of God. And God has used him many times to represent his people in both their failings, what they are by nature, and also what they are by the grace of God in Christ. And we read back in that 31st chapter that the Lord has just told Jacob to go back to his home country. He said, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. He was heading home. And that is exactly what every one of God's elect is doing in this world. They're heading home. They're headed for that land of which they are natives by the grace of God. Supposedly he has gotten everything settled between he and Laban as he sets out. He has a long journey. Will he be safe? Will he be okay? Will he have what he needs? And he faces going back to Esau, whom he's wronged. He fears a great deal. How will the Lord assure his safety? And I think in these times in which we live, how will the Lord assure our safety in every way? And I thought about it, how we here live in this area with a military base nearby. And here are all these weapons and all these men and all this armament, everything to defend and protect. How would it be if we could just, everywhere we moved, everywhere we drove, everywhere we traveled, take all of this safety, you might say, with us? We could relax a little bit more, maybe. We could feel a little bit safety. But Jacob, and not only Jacob, but every one of God's people, every single one, without exception, no matter who, no matter where, no matter what state and condition, Jacob and every one of God's elect has something better than that. They have something better than that. And very soon on this journey, Jacob encounters an amazing sight. An amazing sight. It says in verse 1, and Jacob went on his way. That's the way God had appointed for him. Our way that we go is the way that God has appointed for us. Everyone has a different kind of path, but everyone is going in the same direction. Everyone is going toward home. There are differences in our treks sometimes. It says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. The angels of God. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. This is the Lord's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. It was so spectacular and remarkable that just like Bethel came to be, he named this place a special name. Because it's here that he realized, here that he saw the Lord's host revealing themselves to him. And he finds out that everywhere he goes, this is the case. God gives him in these another reminder of his faithfulness. His faithfulness, just like he had done at Bethel. Remember, at Bethel, it says that he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending it. That ladder is Christ. Christ bringing Jacob to glory, making him a way in Christ crucified that he could enter the presence of God. But on this ladder, ascending and descending, going up and down this ladder, were these angels. These angels. And they are the angels of God. They are the host of God. That is, the army or these who are called the Lord, he's called the Lord of hosts. They're called a host because of their number, because of their order, because of their strength, and because of what they perform and do. Jacob finds out that he has never made a step. He's never traveled a mile as one of God's children without this abiding, following, attending host. In other words, he has traveled all his days with this angelic company. Though he's not seen them, though he doesn't know a lot about him, but he hasn't ever been in any situation at any time that the Lord's host have not been attendant to him. And he calls this place Mahanaim, which means two hosts or two armies. And that is, perhaps he is in that acknowledging that there is a company or an army traveling with him other than his own company. He was going back home. He had all these people, all these cattle, all these sheep, all this family. They would appear to somebody maybe as an army, but he has traveling with him others than his own. And if we are the Lord's people, we know ourselves, if we believe the scriptures, to be attended by the same host. Jacob made it home. Jacob was delivered from every problem, every enemy, everything that could have waylaid him or stopped him. He was attended by this angelic army. And I thought about it. I mentioned it not long ago, but I mentioned it how that the servant of Elisha had to be brought to see the same thing. In 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 11, it says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for these things." Why was he troubled? Because every move he planned to make Israel moved first and got ahead of him, defeated him, and he was beginning to wonder if he had a spy in the midst. So he was troubled at this. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Will you not do that? And one of his servants said, none, my lord the king. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. The prophet of God is telling the king of Israel the very words that you speak in your own bedroom, in private. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night, and they compassed the city about. They surrounded it. They had the city. They had the prophet under siege. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. He walked out there to the early morning sun, and he looked around the city, and around surrounding the city was the captain and the horses and the chariots and the soldiers of the Syrian king. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? What can we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I wish I could commit that very thought to my brain. He said, fear not, for they that be with us. Now, he's not talking about anything that can be seen by the natural eye. Not any protector, not any strength, not any power, not any weapon of this flesh. A natural protector. But here is what he believes by faith. He's not seen it yet either. But Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. These weren't just horses. They weren't just chariots. They weren't just men. They were horses and chariots of fire. That is, they appeared with such brilliance and glory. And Elisha prays now then, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. That host of angels that surrounded Elisha and surrounded the people of God, they didn't just show up at that moment. They had to be revealed to him. that he might be enabled to see him, but they were there all the time. They were there all the time. And perhaps Jacob speaks here and names this place that speaks of two because it shows like the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud. One went before and one went afterward. As Moses and the people of Israel came out of Egypt, meaning that they were secure on every side. In other words, what this shows us here, I believe, is that God's people in this journey, in this traveling, they're traveling with angels. Traveling with angels. And because the scripture says of Christ singularly and also of the angels plurally in Psalm 34, 7, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. They're not somewhere off, just like Christ is not way off somewhere. He's in heaven on his throne, and still at the same time, his presence is with us. He's in our midst. But the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and they aren't there just like a insignia on somebody's wall. They deliver him. They deliver him. You see, these angels that we read about in the scripture, they're messengers or agents of God's providence and God's will. But just like everything else that God creates, man makes an idol of it. Man can make a phony image of it. Man can ascribe to them things that they never do and never are. But this is not just a superstition. Though man does what he does, which he changes the image of God, and he worships the creature more than the creator, but these angels are created beings. They're created beings. They're not to be compared to the one who's called the angel of the covenant. That's Christ, the angel of the covenant. Turn with me here to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and listen to how Christ compares to these angels. Verse 4, but it says of him, being made so much better than the angels, not even to be compared to the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now God has said many things to an angel. He's commanded them many things. He's sent them many on many missions, and he's done many things in bringing his will forward by angels. But listen, for unto which of the angels uh, unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He never said that to any angels. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. They're his servants, not his saints. But they are his servants. The angels worship him, fall down and adore him. And the apostle is showing the superiority of Christ because he's the Savior. He's the King. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He's the Son. He's the heir. And all that any other angel or any angel could do could not save us or make us righteous or put away our sin. They're created just like we are. But they praise and they attend to the things of Christ. Luke 2 records it. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Of them it said in Psalm 103, Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. And then again in Psalm 148, Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. They do many things. But what I want us to see is their chief business. Look down with me here in Hebrews 1 to verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit thou on my right hand until I make you open the prison doors for the apostles and deliver them out where they had been confined by these religious Jews. The angel of the Lord delivered Peter out of prison when he had been confined by Herod. The angels are sent to give strength to resist temptation. The angels are sent to support in affliction, like the cheering message to Daniel, to comfort the disciples of Christ when he had been taken from them at death and when he ascended up. And the angels attend dying saints and conduct them to glory. So Christ said of Lazarus that when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I thought about it when I remembered something that's found in Hebrews 13 and verse 1. The apostle, in closing out this epistle, he says, let brotherly love continue. And be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The other day, and I'm not saying this man was an angel. I don't know. But I'm saying this, he could have been. He was a total stranger. On the day that our brother Paul was dying in the hospital at Wilmington, and the doctor called Reed. She knew she just had a little while to go down there and be with him. And so she went to Wilmington, which is about 45 miles from here, not having been there lately in a long time. And then when she arrived there, she got lost. Everything has changed so much in that place in the last years. And the only thing she knew to do was to stop and ask a group of men that were at a store or something. And she told them her plight. She didn't know the way to the hospital. And one of those men said, follow my truck. And he led her right to the hospital. He led her to where to park. He pointed her to the door and helped her up the steps. This is what she told me. She doesn't know his name. She didn't know anything about him, never seen him before. Whatever it takes to help the Lord's people, like Jacob on the way home, that's what he sends his angels to do. Jacob saw the host of God. Sometimes we entertain these angels unaware. The Bible doesn't say us to go looking for them or try to figure out whether they were one or not. But I'm sure they've helped me on this journey, because it was God's will for them to. And I'm sure this, I most likely didn't know that they were. But he never leaves or forsakes his people. Like I said, these things are written for our admonition, our comfort. Greater are they that are for us than they that are against us. Father, we thank you tonight for every blessing that you give to us in Christ, for that great salvation of our soul, salvation from all our sins. We thank you for all that you made us in Christ. And we thank you for all that you've given us and give us and provide for us because of Christ. We thank you that from his throne, he sends this attending, mighty, helping host. These messengers, these defenders, these keepers, these helpers. And we give you thanks for it. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.